Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. So last week we talked about I hate my job. We're going to do a little bit of a recap, mix a few things in, but we want to talk about today, you are the job. You embody a gifting. You embody a calling. You embody something from heaven that was placed here for now to shine and demonstrate the goodness of God. And you really are the call. You are the job. You are what God wants to demonstrate. And you're a miracle and you're awesome. Turn to the person next to you and say, I am really, really awesome. Settle down, not so loud. I mean, not like you're excited or anything, you know. But now back in, how many remember back in August 14th, 2003? I remember this day because it's the day my daughter tried to burn the church down. So it was awesome. So they were trying to make some maps and discolor some paper and make it look like they were old maps. And Carly decided to tape it on the wall upstairs and try to burn the map while it was taped to the wall and almost caught the whole wall on fire. That was so awesome. But I don't know if that caused it, but right around the same time, we had a blackout. And that's a satellite picture of that whole swath of North America that literally went in the dark. Do you remember that day? Some of you remember? I mean, I left, we closed up here, I went home, and for the first time in 10 years, I met my neighbors. I thought it was so amazing that suddenly we all, nobody inside, there was nothing, some candles, so we were all kind of outside, couldn't cook, do much inside, so we had our barbecues on out in the parking lot or in the driveway, and everybody was, hey, how you doing? Suddenly we were all talking about it, and we had this common issue that just happened, and it brought us all together, and suddenly I'm making friends in the neighborhood. Who'd have known it would happen? But you know, that's what happens when the lights goes out. That's what happens when there's a short circuit. That's what happens when the wiring gets messed up. I show you that because I want you to know you don't need to live your life as a blackout. You need to live your life completely wired up, hooked up. You are pre-wired for something unique and something special. And you know, you need to know what it is, and you've got a responsibility to know what it is. Can I get an amen? Okay, I got a little test for you right now. All right, look at this up on the screen. Circle just in your mind, take your little pencil of your mind, circle the most important to God, the most important career to God. Just want to see if you can get this one right, all right? Go ahead. Who's going to get it right? They're all important. You're absolutely right. But you know, sometimes I think people think that there's these wonderful, if you get to work for God, if you get these wonderful sacred callings and things, that those are really working. Everything else is really kind of down here. But, you know, those are awesome. Or you might think, you know, you got to be a lawyer. You got to be a doctor. You got to be this. You got to be that. But you know what? Every single one of us are wired to do something wonderful. And every single calling, every career, God has wired us to function in that setting and be really, really good at it and enjoy it and manifest His grace, His goodness, and His wonderful power where you are. Amen. All right, we're going to move on. Give me another slide. I shared this one last week about Martin Luther. I love Martin Luther. Martin Luther said, a cobbler, a smith, a farmer, each has the work in the office of his trade, consecrated as priests and bishops. And you have to understand, Martin Luther had just come out of the whole Catholic movement, the Roman Catholic movement, and for him to basically say there's no gap between clergy and laity, there's no gap between those who would be the men of the cloth and those who just work at a secular job. He's saying there is absolutely no difference. That would have blown up the mindset of the Roman church at that day. But he's literally saying every one of us are bishops. Every one of us are priests. Every one of us are called to serve God in our setting. And we're all called to manifest His goodness and glory. Hallelujah. Thank you. Redeemed. You got to redeem your mindset, your vocation. How many noticed last week that I had your vacation is holy? How many noticed that? Very good. You should have sent me an email. I didn't notice till staff meeting. How many thought that's what I was trying to say? Your vacation is holy. Your vacation is holy. Honestly, it really is, and you got to take it. But your vocation is a holy calling. Work equals worship. Work equals worship. When you're working, you're worshiping God. No, I'm worshiping when I'm in church. I'm worshiping when I'm in my prayer closet. You're worshiping when you're doing your job. You're worshiping when you work. You are manifesting the manifold goodness and grace of God when you work. It brings a fresh joy to your world. That's why you don't go, oh, it's Monday. You go, thank God it's Monday. Amen. All right, don't shout me down. It's okay. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 from the Message says, so here's what I want you to do. And this is, we got 11 chapters of doctrine. I mean, Paul's just running hard, 11 chapters of doctrine. And then he turns to the practical application and he says, therefore, in another translation, or the Message says, so here's what I want you to do now. In light of all of this truth, here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Take whatever you think is ordinary, take whatever you think is everyday, place it before the Lord, place your natural before the Lord as an offering, and he'll give it back to you as a supernatural manifestation of his goodness and his grace. Can I get an amen? Good translation. Thank you, honey. Good for you. I love it when you just kind of boost me up. And so good. 50% of people, 50% show up late to work on Monday. Monday, on average, the productivity is 30%. The first Monday smile for most people happens at 11:16 a.m. Now, come on, you can do better, huh? Come on, just on purpose tomorrow, get up and just jump in the mirror and go, hey, it's an awesome day. All right, come on, let's break the averages. Let's just bust the curve and make it amazing. All right, moaning on Monday. The average amount of moaning that takes place on a Monday morning is 10 minutes. That's a lot of moaning. Holy cow. Just try to do that for 10. 20% higher rate of heart attack Mondays, highest rate of suicide Mondays. We work 50 hours or more, you're 2 times more likely to be divorced. I mean, you could think work and all that's a nasty stuff. But you know, we should be saying, thank God it's Monday. But people have a bad attitude about Monday. We want to change that. Genesis 2:15, then the Lord took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. God created us to work. Work is a gift. Say, work is a gift. Work is a gift. And it's a gift. If it's a gift from God, you should say, thank you, Father, for giving me work. And you know, if you need work or better work, you should say, thank you, Lord, give me better work. I need work. Work is a gift from you. You've given me work, and your work is meant to be a blessing. Say amen. Romans 8, verse 28 from the NIV, it says, we know that in all things God works. God works. God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. Genesis chapter 3, 17 to 19, cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles shall they bring forth, and you shall eat of the herbs of the field, of the sweat of your faith. You shall eat bread till you tend till the ground. Now, here I threw that in because when they were really blessed in the garden, because the world was blessed. I mean, everything was so blessed. And you see, after sin entered in and the fall entered in, you know, believe it or not, this beautiful planet is still under that fallen situation. So there's toil. I mean, things do not produce like they should. Things are difficult like they should. So the earth is under that toil and that curse. Now listen, you are meant to work, and work is good, but toil is not good. Say work. Say toil. Two different things altogether. And some people, even believers, are still living in the realm of toil. They haven't allowed there to be a redemptive application to what they're doing and what they're called to do. And sometimes if you're not in that calling and you're not embracing where God has placed you, it becomes toil and it becomes frustration. So you need to redeem that. And that's why this whole series is about a redemption. It's about a thank God it's Monday. That's why we're doing that. Do that because 70%, Gallup poll 2013, it said 70%, they studied, it was in over 130 nations, and it was 25, I think, I'm sure it was 25 million people that they did the study with, which is huge, huge. 70% of people are dissatisfied. 70% of people are disengaged with their work. I thought, you know, if that's so, then I can go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I got 7 out of 10 people sitting in front of me that while I'm preaching, they're not listening. They're just going like, it's Monday tomorrow. And you know, you're not applying anything. And we could talk about deep doctrine, deep truth. Yay, glory to God. And yet you're sitting there going, Monday tomorrow. Well, I want you to go Monday tomorrow. I want you to embrace today. I want to come back every Sunday with testimonies of how awesome God has been all week long. Amen. So this is it. This is it right here. Work turned into a curse because of the fall. The ground was cursed and people were cursed. Sin entered in. Things were affected. So you go into situations where there's a lack of productivity. In the natural realm, there's a lack of productivity. Believe me, it can be supernaturally blessed and better. But here's the beautiful thing is that even in your situation, even in the natural realm, because you've been redeemed and because you now are a prophet, priest, and a king, that you walk into places where you go, you bring a new kingdom. And because you go there, you bring a new efficiency. You breathe something divine into situations that are broken and fallen. Even in the natural realm, you can cause the blessing of God to affect the natural realm. That's why last week I talked to you about Obed-Edom. All he did, he welcomed the glory of God, the Ark of the Covenant, into his house. And it says everything he had was blessed. See, the Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. You now, the Ark of the Covenant was a place where God dwelt. Guess who the Ark of the Covenant is now? I am. You are. I am a living, mobile, walking, expressing, exploding tabernacle of the glory of God. Everywhere I go, the presence of God goes. That means everywhere I go, stuff just gets better because I showed up. Remember in the book of Acts where it says people tried to find out where Peter was going because it said even the shadow of Peter, if it touched them, would heal them? That Peter was so saturated with the anointing of God that everywhere he went, the glory of God was manifest just without even trying. It was just happened. It's like you walk by a radiant heater, you feel radiant heat. He was radiating the glory of God. Everywhere he went, people got touched just by being in proximity to his person. Well, that was just for then, Pastor. They were super apostles, and you know, that was just to get stuff going. No, it says that the last day, church, is going to be greater than the former. And they're going to have the former and the latter day anointing. Please settle down. I'm trying to preach. Man, I'm telling you, it's rough. But you know, even the people you work with, you know, people aren't your problem. Did you know that 85% of the reason people leave a job is because of an unresolved personal conflict? That's why people leave work. You know, you might even like your job, but you get so annoyed with someone, you can't work it out. You got an unresolved issue with a boss or a fellow employee, and you can't work it out, so you just start going, you know what, I'm so sick of going there on Monday, I'm going to start looking for another job. A lot of the people, they had a statistic for how many people working at their job while they're working for somebody are actually looking for another job. You're paying them to work for you, and they're actually looking for a different job. 85% of people leave the job because of unresolved issues. That's because you're working in a fallen situation often. If you're in a place where people have not experienced the redemption of Christ, it says they are literally slaves. They are children of darkness. Isn't that a sad statement? But you know, you're not fighting against them. There's a system. There's a world system that is adverse, and it's just nasty. But you know, when you walk in, you bring the blessing of God. When you walk in, you don't engage the gossip. You don't engage the strife. You don't engage the phony competition and the silly striving and everybody, you know, I'm just trying to look prettier than everybody else today. You don't enter into that cycle. You step into a place where you literally, I don't know what it is, but when you're here, you know, everything works better. It's like everything goes better when you're around. I don't know what it is, but you know what? Things work better because you're here. People work better because you're here. It's like the strife stops when you step in the room. No, so the environment will shift because of you, and even the people you're with, they will feel something significant happen to their lives because you walk in the room. All right, thank you for that, Pastor. All right. Now, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, for God, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might be the righteousness of God. So God came and redeemed it all, and he said, I will make all things new. So you literally walk with the power. It says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That's what was going on. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. It says now we are the reconcilers, we are the ambassadors, we are, and now God is making that same appeal through you, reconciling everything that is not redeemed is being reconciled through you. So when you go to work, you are an ambassador releasing the heavenly kingdom. You might be doing a job, it might be technical, it might be this, it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, whatever you're doing, it's a secondary thing. Your overall job is you are introducing the kingdom and the atmosphere and the reign and rule of the king everywhere you are. Thank God it's Monday. I get to change the world again. Hallelujah. All right. Another verse. You ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 20. Three different translations of this verse. And this was where people were coming to the Lord, new converts, people who didn't know anything about this. I mean, Paul was going into cities where they'd never heard of Jesus or any of that. So people were coming to the Lord, and Paul had to instruct them. He said, look, now that you're born again and you've come into the kingdom, let each one remain in the same calling with which he was called. Or usually a person should keep with the work that he was doing when God called him. Each one should remain in the condition he was when he was called. That means like when you get born again, it doesn't mean you got to change your job. It quite might very well be that when you accept Jesus as your Savior, you're actually in your gifting, you're in your strength, you're in a place where your talents and abilities are being manifest. It's not that you now got to change your job. You are now empowered by God to bring an absolute shift to where you are. I mean, it would be silly for every single person to run away from their jobs and say, I want to run into sacred ministry now. See, God didn't want to take you out of the world. He saved you so you could be in it and manifest his goodness and his grace. 1 Peter 4, verse 10, it says, and each one has received a gift. Each one has received, there's one paraphrase puts it this way, each one has a shape. Each one has a shape. You got a shape, I got a shape. How many know my shape's pretty awesome? Well, that's not the shape we're talking about, okay? Each one has received a shape. That's a gift, Pastor. You should send it back. Okay, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Right here, shape. Let me show you what shape is. Your shape is spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experience. We're going to unpack it a bit more next week. But your spiritual gifts, you, say you. Turn to your neighbor, take your finger, point right at him, say you. You should know what your spiritual gifts are. If you don't know what they are, why don't you? We have mentoring programs here where we take you in an incredible, exhaustive way. It's not exhausting, but it's exhaustive. That you can find out what your gifts are, your callings, what your heart is. What's your heart? What is your heart? I mean, there's people who have a heart for things, and you have a heart for things, and you have your abilities. I mean, Wayne had a dream about a tank. Well, I needed a tank, but I said, we need a tank. Wayne got an idea of a bunch of things he could pull together. We could take that, chop that, move that, do this, ding. And he turned it into a manifestation. He got Ray and Harry and Brad and a few others all came together, and they took Wayne's dream and they turned it into that tank. Isn't that awesome? But you see, we talked to somebody who we knew had a creative ability to create things and just build things. And out of nothing, can you just create something for us? Sure, I'll take care of that. And look at that. We got our very own tank. Right there. It's a tank. And we were conflicted. Some want to cover up the outside. Brad wanted to leave it uncovered so you can see the people go down. He also wanted to put a strip of lights around and some colored LEDs. And when they went down, it go boom, 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 boom. And so, and then Harry wanted like maybe some speakers on the side. Go boom, now you're free. Now you're free. But I don't know. So anyways, if you got any other ideas, throw them in because we're not quite finished, but it's going to work today. All right. So then there's your personality. How many know that we all got a different personality? And that's not, so you can annoy other people. It's so you can understand what your personality is, so you can understand that people are different from you. And when you know who you are, you don't try to find people who are just like you, but you begin to realize that I know who I am. Other people need me. But for me to be, effective in their life or be an addition to their life, I got to know who I am so I can move towards them, not try to make them move towards me. You got to know your personality. And then there's your experience. We've all got experiences and background that all add to and contribute to our shape. But you, if you're going to be effective, if you're going to say, thank God it's Monday, a real important thing is you should know clearly what your shape is. Because it says God gave each of you a shape, and he gave you that shape to manifest and minister to others the manifold wisdom of God. Amen. Can I get an amen for that? Thank you, Pastor. All right, let's move on. Larry Bird. How many know Larry Bird? Good Celtic basketball player years ago, Boston Celtics. He said, a winner is someone who recognizes his God-given talents, who works his tail off to develop them into skills, and uses these skills to accomplish a goal. Amen. Well, Pastor, you did all summer preaching on Galatians, and we don't have to work, and then all of a sudden you came into September, and it's work, 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 work. Yes, it is. It's work. It's a different kind of work. It's a partnership with God. It's now that I'm free of all the entanglements. I'm free to work. I'm free now out of that relationship with him, out of him as my source. I'm free to manifest and fully understand how I'm wired to bring change to my world. That's what's really important. Another quote from, it was a preacher, James Faust. James Faust said, others can challenge and motivate us, but we must reach deep down into our own souls and call forth our God-given intelligence and capabilities. We cannot do this when we depend on the efforts of someone else. else. You have to take personal responsibility that I choose to mine out everything that God has poured into me. I choose to maximize everything that I am. I choose to be a good steward of me because I am the job. I am the calling. I am a big deal right now where God has planted me. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a big deal. Turn to your neighbor and the other side and say, I'm a pretty big deal. I really am. I really am. All right. Exodus chapter 30. I read some of Exodus 35 at the offering, but here they were. They'd come out of Egypt. They'd come into the wilderness, ready to go into the promised land, but God wants to dwell with them. All right. Say, God wants to dwell with them. So God wants to get close. So God says, because I want to get close, I want you to build a place for me to be with you. I want to dwell with you. So for this to be done, Moses was told, I've got specific people that I have put my spirit upon, that I have gifted and I have enabled to do the work for me to establish exactly as I command, to build a dwelling place for me to come and manifest my presence among you. How many think that's a good idea? That's a good idea. Exodus 30, verses 2 and 3. See, I have called Bezaleel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and knowledge on all manner of workmanship. Say workmanship. All right, Exodus chapter 35, 30 to 7. Read it at offering, which is one part. Bezaleel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan whom the Lord has put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary. They shall do it according to all that the Lord has commanded. Well, that's the Old Testament. Pastor, that's really, really awesome. Well, what is God building today? That's what he was building then. It had to be built exactly as the Lord commanded. And to do the job, you had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To function and use your giftings and your abilities, if you're doing it in the flesh, it will not register at all in eternity. But when you do it with the blessing of God in your life, you're building something eternal. Well, they were building a place where God could dwell. They were building somewhere where God could come and habitate among the people. They were building a place that out from there, God could fill the earth with his goodness and his glory. Well, that was the old covenant. What's he doing today in the new covenant? What's he doing? What's he doing? Let's close in prayer. Now, what's he doing? Look what he's doing. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What is Jesus doing right now? He's building his congregation. He's calling out his people. He's filling the earth right now with people who are living stones that he's knitting together so that he can be a habitation of his glory. He's building and fitting together workers, anointed people who not just in the church but in every aspect of society can demonstrate the wisdom of God. What does it mean? You are Peter and on this rock. It's not Peter is the rock. The rock, he said, it's Peter, the fact that you had a revelation. Peter got a revelation that you are the Christ. Ah, Peter, on that rock, on that revelation that I am the Christ. I am going to build on the spirit of revelation. I'm going to build in the earth. I'm going to fill it with myself. I'm going to redeem a community. I'm going to call them out. I'm going to put living stones together and I'm going to put my spirit in it. I'm going to manifest my goodness in all the earth. But this will never happen if we think God's just trying to get everybody into church. He's trying to get a church, a congregation, a body of believers fully activated, fully initiated in every gifting, calling, and setting. And then between Sunday all the way to next Sunday, they're invading the world with the wisdom of God. What am I shouting about? I'm excited. I'm coming to a rapid conclusion. 1 Peter 2:5, you also are living stones being built together as a spiritual house. Just like they built that house in the old covenant, anointed to do that, you were anointed to build his house. And every single calling, every gifting, whatever you do, it's for the glory of God. Work is worship. And you need to know your abilities, your gifts, your skills, because where you are isn't just putting in time so you can get back to church on Sunday. Where you are isn't just putting in time and hoping, Jesus, get us out of this mess. Where you are right now is to overcome, to dominate, to minister, and manifest the glory of God where you are. Is anybody feeling me yet? 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, special people, that you may proclaim the praises of God who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are carriers of the glory of God. A couple more verses. 1 verse. You ready? Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. How many know that you were in him before the foundation of the world? You know, all this, like I said, all his plans for your good. What's he doing right now in your life? He's working for good. I mean, God is partnering with you. I mean, Jesus is interceding. The Holy Spirit is full on giving all of his strength. The Father already has an incredible dream and plan for you. I mean, heaven is fully engaged in your success. The next great event is not getting you out of here. The next great event is loosing you every moment of every day on all the pain, the hurt, and whatever's going on in this world. Because you are a glory explosion waiting to happen every day. Thank God it's Monday. Hallelujah. Look, it says we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Amen. I'll tell you, it's bad. It's bad out there. Terrible things are going on. God's going to come and judge the world. He's going to kill everybody tomorrow. Hallelujah. What a bunch of nonsense. We had one prophet last weekend the world was supposed to end. And now they have him on TV and explaining, well, maybe we missed the date, but still, God's going to do bad stuff. Would they stop it? God's created us for good works. All his plans for us are good. The world was judged in Christ Jesus. Read your Bible. He's not angry. He's not mad. All of it was poured out on his son so that now, in Christ Jesus, we can manifest. Come to God. He loves you. Be reconciled to him. He's not mad and angry at you. He loves you. Oh. Can I get a doctor? Oh, my God. I thought my leg got stuck there. Call the ambulance. Oh, my God. Here we are. We're finishing right now because we got to baptize people who want to go be glory bombs and explosions. Are you having any fun yet? I wish you knew how awesome you were. I wish you knew how incredibly eternity and all of God and his divinity is invested in you. Oh, I wish you really knew. Look at this. It says, you are his workmanship. I love that. It's poema. You are poema. Say poema. You are his poema. You know, that's where we get the English word poem. You are his poem. You are an articulate, beautiful creation of God. You are his spoken creative word. You are an expression from the heart of God creatively demonstrating his wisdom and his grace. You are the workmanship of God, that which was made, that which was done, a work or workmanship or creation. Amen. Come on, stand up with me. Thank God it's Monday. Well, it's Monday tomorrow, Ryan. Stay with me. Stay with me. Thank God it's Monday. How many ready to just go? Just hit the world hard. Just go for it. I mean, don't wait till Monday. Get out there today. Do something great. Do something incredible. Amen. Everybody say, go Cowboys. All right. Okay, sorry. We got in the flash right there. Just bow your eyes. Close your heads. All right. Just bow your heads. Close your eyes just for a moment. All right. Don't worry about those guys over there. Listen, if you're here today, you know, I don't know everyone here today, but I want you to know him. And I want you to know right now, he accepts you. He loves you. He's nuts about you. He really is. And you know, if you don't know him, he wants to know you. He's removed every obstacle so that you can know him. He took it on himself. He became sin so that you can become the righteousness of God. You've just got to say, I believe that. Like, I accept that. Because he's already put out his hand. He said, I accept you. I love you. I want to be in a relationship with you. That's God's heart towards you. But if you don't know him, if you can't say, I've accepted him, or I know that he's my Savior, I want to pray with you today. And I'm going to do this right now. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3. And if you don't know that you know him, or you're saying, you know, I want to know him today, I want to accept him today, I want you to put your hand up when I say 3. Are you ready? Listen, 1, 2, 3. Just lift your hand up really, really high so I can see it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Just lift it really high so I can see. Anyone else? Thank you. You can put your hands down now, but somebody may come and chat with you a little bit later. But can you pray this with me? Everybody's going to pray, but you pray it. You pray it out loud. Just believe in your heart right now that he loves you, and you pray with us. Are you ready? Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I believe that you are my Lord and Savior. I accept you right now into my life. Come and fill me with the Holy Spirit. Let me know that I'm a child of God. I confess my sins are forgiven because of the work of the cross. And I receive now the righteousness of God. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for freedom. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 That was good, huh? Look at me now. Look at me. I know several of you put your hands up. I want you to look. Your sins are forgiven. You don't have a sin relationship with God anymore at all because He took your sin. Here's what's sometimes hard to believe, but you know what? He took it past, present, and future. He's got it all covered. And you need to realize you have an incredible open access relationship with Him. He is your Heavenly Father, and He loves you with an everlasting love. Amen.